produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, hello to all the listeners. It's my pleasure to be sending you greetings. Warm greetings from South Africa. It's pretty warm over here. I know it's a little bit cold over there, but it's a privilege and a pleasure to be able to share with you today. And today I wanted to share on the subject matter of relationships. If you're out there, I want you to say the word relationships with me. So relationships are very important to us. God never meant for us to live isolated lives, but he has given us destiny helpers, and he has created us as people who must relate with one another. And one of the things that will make us win is when we come together in unity, come together as a team, whether it's in ministry, whether it's as a family, however it is. But unity is a powerful weapon to ensure victory on our behalf. And one of the things that I've seen in this season is that relationships are being very, very negatively impacted. As a pastor, and I'm sure there's so many pastors out there, men and women of God, who are experiencing the same thing. Relationships are under a great attack in this season. I don't think in my few 35 years of ministry, I can ever say that I've had to do as much counseling as I have had to do in this season. People are coming out and, just offending one another, attacking one another. There's a great deal of hostility out there. There's a great deal of anger. There's a great deal of emotionalism and a lot of hatred out there. And it is impacting on relationships, on marital relationships, on friendships, on relationships within the body of Christ. And so today, I really wanted to talk about relationships and talk about how are we supposed to act and how are we to handle the attack that is on relationships in this season. One of the scriptures I love the most is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 32, and it talks about the sons of Issachar and the fact that they knew the season, and not only did they know the season, but they knew how to respond. They had a strategy for responding. So they knew the season, and they knew what strategy to employ or to deploy. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in this season and why it's happening and how to respond in this season to protect our relationships and to make sure that we fulfill our purpose and mandate in God. Because there's no way that we will fulfill purpose as a single, isolated human being. We need one another, we need each other, and God has ordained relationships. The first thing I wanted to talk about is coming from the scripture, John 10:10. And this sets out not only the mandate of the devil, but it sets out the mandate of Jesus. And we know that this scripture tells us that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, in complete direct opposite, in the same scripture, John 10:10, we learn that the devil has a mandate as well. And his mandate is to steal, his mandate is to kill, and his mandate is to destroy. And so we need to first and foremost understand that this is his job description, it's his mandate, to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the ways that he will effectively be able to fulfill his own mandate is through stealing, killing, and damaging relationships. So he's disrupting the unity of families. He's disrupting unity in ministries, within the church environment. And as he does that within the work environment, the more he can disrupt that unity by bringing suspicion, bringing deception, the more he can do that, the easier it makes his own job. So he really is going all out to steal relationships, to kill them, to destroy relationships. I believe that some of you out there may have probably, you know, broken relationships. There's some relationships out there that that you feel, you know, maybe the enemy has come in between just to now start destroying and stealing it and just really impacting negatively. Well, we're going to pray for relationships at this end. And any relationship that God has ordained, we're going to pray that God will bring it back together. Amen. Also, I wanted us to know that one of the things, as we were saying, the enemy uses relationships. He's destroying, attacking relationships as never before, sending out arrows out there to make sure that the unity in the families and within the body of Christ is destroyed, so that it will be so much more challenging for us to fulfill the mandate of the body of Christ. Now, we know that God tells us that we don't use the weapons of the world to fight. In fact, we are told that we have been given weapons that will pull down every stronghold of human reasoning and destroy every false argument. One of the greatest weapons that the enemy is using, the devil is using in this season, is the weapon of deception and false accusation. Concerning deception, we know that the devil himself is surrounded by deception. That is his modus operandi, his main way of operating. If you read scripture, it tells us that he walks around and walks about as a roaring lion. He's not really a lion, but he uses deception to create the impression that he is a roaring lion. And he will always try to counterfeit the image of Christ. We know that Christ is the real lion. He's described as the Lion of Judah. So the best that the devil can do is to counterfeit the image of Christ. He's not a lion, but he tries to be like a lion. He tries to enlarge himself, his appearance, his power, his capacity, and make it look like he's a lion when he's not. So he's very deceptive in that. He also tries to disguise himself as an angel of light. We know that he's no longer an angel. He was previously an angel, but now he represents the kingdom of darkness. But he now tries to deceive many of us by manifesting himself as an angel of light. So deception is part of who the devil is. It goes to his very core. It's his modus operandi. And as believers, we need to understand this, that he will be bringing every level of deception to try to confuse us, to try to derail us, to try to deny us, to try to do all sorts of things, take us out of mandate. And in John 8:44, again, if you read that scripture, it tells us that there is no truth in him. There's no truth in the devil. And it says that when he's lying, in fact, lies are his original language. That's what comes naturally to him. Most of us would have a mother tongue, and I would like to actually put it out there that lying is the mother tongue of the devil. And it, even that scripture describes him as a liar and the father of lies. So he is the originator of all lies. So I think we're now getting a little picture about who the devil is. He is deception himself, and he uses lies as a way of deceiving us, deceiving people in the world, deceiving members of the body of Christ even. And he uses also false accusation is another key weapon that he uses to try to derail and confuse us and take us out of our key mandate. We also learn that the devil is an accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12:10 describes him as the accuser of our brothers and sisters, and he accuses us day and night. That is his mandate. Every time you and I wake up, we need to understand this. As we wake up, He is looking for an opportunity. He is looking for some reason to be able to accuse us falsely. When we understand this, it's easier for us to respond unemotionally. And the challenge that many of us are having is that when we receive false accusation or when we're confronted with false accusation, we immediately want to respond emotionally. So we don't need to respond emotionally, respond spiritually. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds of every false argument that is raised against you. You don't respond by throwing stones. When the men that David was with, King David was with his men, wanted to stone him, he didn't respond by picking up stones and stoning them back. But it says that after a little bit of a moment of crying, he encouraged himself in the Lord. So what we need to do is not to respond in the same manner. I think we're getting a little bit of a picture around the season, what is happening. I believe in many nations, God is beginning to bring revival in many nations. I know in the southern Africa. And so the question arises to say, what do we do in this time, in this season, where the enemy is attacking relationships, he's attacking marriages, he's attacking relationships between parents and children, he's attacking relationships at work, he's attacking relationships in the body of Christ. You see that churches and assemblies are struggling to flow and to survive because there's so much false accusation, there's so many arguments, there's suspicion, people are suspicious of one another. There's a whole range of things that are happening. I'm having to counsel people regularly, even pastors and ministers of the gospel, where there's lack of trust, suspicion, and all this because the enemy is throwing out deception and false accusation, lies, the lying spirit is out there. What do we do when we face this? The first thing I want us to know is that we must be aware of it. We must know that this is what's happening. And it's happening because in many nations, revival is about to break forth. And the enemy knows that one way of trying to delay or derail revival is to disturb the unity, because it was an act. And when they were in the upper room, that they were in one place, in one accord, in one language, waiting upon God. Unity is what draws the power and presence of God. Even in Psalms 133, it talks about unity and says that is where he not only commands the blessing, but where he releases his anointing. And so by disrupting that unity, the enemy knows that this is one way of ensuring that revival is either delayed or deterred. But in Jesus' name, we declare that we will be united as the body of Christ. Relationships will be restored. Relationships will be revived. Relationships will be resurrected in the name of Jesus. And so I just want to share again with you to say, what do you do if you're in a family situation and you see that the relationship is being shaken and has been disturbed and the enemy has brought all that he can to kill that relationship? First thing I want to say to you is don't react. You must respond. Do not react. And by reacting, I'm saying don't react in an emotional way. Don't allow your flesh to react. If somebody accuses you of something, if somebody is suspicious of you, or if somebody is provoking you, do not react in the flesh, but respond in the spirit. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the spirit must be in us. And so the fruit that is described there in Galatians 5:22 and 23 talks about the need for us to have love, to have joy, to have peace, to have self-control is one of the very, very important fruit of the spirit that we must inculcate in this season. So ask God to help give you self-control, kindness, peace, all of those things. Meditate on his word day and night. As you read his word first thing in the morning, that word, and speak that word, and speak Galatians 5:22-23 in you and confess it. That will begin to build the fruit in you. And as you begin to pray and worship God, the presence of God, staying in the presence of God, is what will ensure that the Spirit of God is built up in us And when you have the Spirit of God, you will manifest the fruit of the Spirit as well. So point number one, do not react, respond. Point number two, I want to encourage us to cross-check facts. I went to law school. I'm a trained lawyer, and, we like facts. So please don't believe everything that you're told. Don't rush to believe everything that you've been told. Some things are factually incorrect, or some things may be factually correct but taken out of context. So cross-check facts, and also still be alert, be vigilant in the spiritual realm. Third thing we need to do is respond in prayer. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, we are instructed to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So remain prayerful, and as you remain prayerful, you will be able to rejoice always, and you will also be able to give thanks. It's prayer that will enable us to be joyful, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we are joyful, we get strength as well. And the fourth thing I would like to ask us to do, as we said, don't react. And so the last point I want to make in terms of how do we respond in this hostile environment is to say that pray as you pray, also ask Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you. One of the key characteristics of Holy Spirit, he is a truth revealer. So as the enemy tries to bring in deception in your life, in your family, in your relationships, as he tries to falsely accuse you or any members of your family, pray and ask Holy Spirit to reveal the truth. He is the truth himself, and he's faithful to open up the eyes of our understanding to the truth. And so as we close out this session, I want to thank you, all you listeners, for listening to this girl all the way from South Africa. God bless you, and I just want to close out by praying and just saying, Father, we thank you for every relationship. And every relationship that has been ordained by you, Father, we thank you that no weapon that is formed or fashioned against any relationship consecrated and ordained by you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. We submit every relationship before you and thank you that you protect it. Thank you for covenant relationships. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that speaks better things, even on behalf of those relationships in the name of Jesus. We thank you for protection. Psalms 91, protection, we speak that protection over every relationship. Thank you for the shalom, peace, and wellness, Father, of who you are, to be released in families, in work relationships, in the body of Christ. And we thank you for shalom, peace. We walk in peace, we move in peace, we talk in peace, we work in peace, we worship in peace. And we thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. We bless you and give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo on our weekly program, SKM Shimikoti Ministries, Radio International Network, and our co-producer, Kayla Paget. Here we are. We are getting into the Word of God, and for the beginning of this year, Happy New Year to everyone. It is the year to build. And I am looking at a very familiar verse of scripture, and I'll be speaking into the element of understanding the one who has a different spirit, possessing a spirit that is different in this season of your life. So please, if you will, I'll be engaging with us from the book of Numbers, chapter 14. And I am zeroing in verse 24, talking about the life of Caleb, who had a different spirit. Join us, therefore, as we get together in the Word. Bless you.
The book of Numbers. I want to pick it up from chapter 13 at this stage. You don't have to go there with me. Chapter 13. The story that is very familiar that you already know. God's people, they have been taken from, they have come out of bondage, they have come out of Egypt. And along the way, they have seen the miraculous hand of God over their lives. Someone shout amen.
Amen.
They crossed the Red Seas, they have seen few miracles along the way. They are not trained how to fight because they were slaves for 430 years.
Yeah.
So the journey has to go via the wilderness, as you know. Once they are on the wilderness, they arrive at a place, and one of those places is called Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh means holy. Barnea, it means heights. So God brings them to a place, what I would call by interpretation, holy heights.
Yeah.
Which means holiness does not demean you and devalue you. Holiness puts you on a higher platform.
Oh.
It's the same thing when we talk about repent. Believing in God is not enough. Believing must be followed by repentance. Talk to me.
Yeah.
Because once you believe in God, you can believe that God is alive. But if you don't turn around, if you do not make a turn around of that life, and the word repent is two words there, re and pent, which is a penthouse. So you are going back to the top, to the life that God has designed you to be. In that place, you can look down at the situations. So when we say you are the head and not the tail, it is a language of repentance.
Yes. Yeah, I mean.
That means you can all see the same situations, but your perception is different because of your positioning.
Right.
It has nothing to do with my educational background. It has nothing to do with my cultural setting. It has nothing to do with I'm rich or poor. It has got everything to do with where he has positioned me. My posture gives me leverage to begin to say, who are you, giant Goliath? Because you come to me with a javelin and a spear and a sword. But I come to you
in the name of the Lord Most High.
Because my positioning gives me advantage to begin to face and confront my situations and say, in all these things, I am more than a conqueror.
Amen.
I will shout amen.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, in the year of building in 2020, one of the things that I believe pivotal that the Lord wants to do in our lives is to begin to build our lives spiritually.
Yes.
Because the truth is, if you have got a good perspective of who God is in your life, that's good, but that's not the end of the story. If you do not have a good perspective of how you see yourself, even though you see God as good, but if you see yourself as crap,
it's not the end of the story.
You're not going to go anywhere. It's important for you and I, therefore, that we understand, grasp the fact that how do I see myself? Because how I see myself and how I see God will determine my successes in life.
Yeah.
If I see myself like a spiritual midget, like a weakling, like a feeder, that doesn't change the goodness of God. So who needs to change is not God, it's me.
Yeah, amen.
In the year of building, how do you see yourself? Because it's important, it's more important to God how I view myself. Because if I view myself as a winner, if I view myself as more than a conqueror, if I view myself as the head and not the tail, if I view myself as someone who is overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, I can call all the witchcraft of Perth. I'm not afraid. What has changed? It is because I know that I can stand my ground knowing my authority. My authority is in the God that I believe that is able to do. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond what I'm able to ask or think. Someone shout
glory.
12 rulers out of each tribe, where we're going to read in chapter 13, we're going to pick it up from verse 17 in longer. They're going to be sent by Moses to go and spy the land which God promised them.
Yeah.
And the land was the land flowing with milk and honey, but it was the land inhabited by other people, the Canaanites and the Amalekites and all the Gibeonites, as you continue to see it happening there.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting for me because it just makes me understand that when God promised them to go to the land flowing with milk and honey, it is where the covenant blessing is. When you see the wars that are happening today, the first world, the superpowers, it's not about oil. It's about the land.
Yes.
Yeah.
Think with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's never about oil. That's just a bystander there. It is about the land. When you go to Israel, actually for those that have been there, something very interesting when we went in 1998 with my wife, their pets of the tourism is two pictures, it's a picture of two guys there with a lot of wraps on the picture. And we asked, who are these? You don't know these ones? This is Joshua and Caleb, because these were the first tourists. These are the Jewish guys telling that we are proud of this, because they were the first tourists that came to spy this land. It's the land known to the land. And I found it very, very interesting that history has gone that way all these years of these two people, Joshua and Caleb, because they were different. So 12 rulers from each tribe, from the tribe of Dan, from the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Ephraim, from the tribe of Benjamin, from the tribe of Joseph or Manasseh, from the tribe of Reuben, from the tribe of Simeon. Yeah?
Yep.
And the tribe of Gad. These are then sent. But I wanted to realize, Caleb, the guy that I'm going to talk about tonight, he was from the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
Right. Now, it's important that you understand, they then go to spy the land. When they arrived inspiring the land, surely they are shocked by what they see, that the land is very, very important, and it's a land that is actually very, very rich. And I want you to see from chapter 13, verse 17. I'm going to read that for you. The Bible says, Numbers chapter 13, verse 17, and then I will go to chapter 14. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, said to them, go up this way, into the south, go up to the mountains, see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, they are few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or they are strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So you know, 12 leaders march out to go and see the land. They arrive in the land of Canaan. They see the beauty of the land, the arable land. And they see that this land has got a lot of opportunities. It's a land indeed flowing with milk and honey. And upon arrival, they also saw the giants of that place, because they were told by Moses, check whether they are weak or they are strong. And they all saw these giants there. But I wanted to see now what happens from verse 25. It says, they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Someone shout amen.
Amen.
And they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. What's that? Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw this descendant of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the mountains. Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the river. Then Caleb, quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. What a word.
Yeah, amen.
Caleb goes on to say, but the men who had gone up with him say, this is the other 10, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Catch that? They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Please, 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 please. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. I find it very interesting that it was not the giants who defined them.
Nah.
They defined themselves. That tells you that it's important how you see yourself. Because for some of us here, the devil knows you have got power. But if you do not know that you have got power, you're still defeated.
Yeah.
You can get me.
Yeah.
The devil knows Jesus' death, Jesus' burial and resurrection put you in a place, in a position where you carry authority. You're supposed to walk in authority. But if you do not know that you've got authority, you still live like a failure. Here's my prayer. In the year of building our lives, it is you taking your authority back, understanding what God is doing in your life. I refuse in 2020 to live like a spiritual midget. May you rise up strong and understand. Understand that the God that is in you is bigger than the problems that you encounter every day. Yeah? Everything that you encounter in life will never surprise God, because your God is bigger than everything that you face as a child of God. And it's my prayer that as you rise up in your spirit man and you understand your level of authority, no matter what you see, no matter how you feel, no matter what they say, at the end of the day, Christians, you should always know that we walk with majority, but our majority seems to be in the minority, because you plus God equals majority.
Yes.
In the world systems of democracy, it's very easy to go with what everybody else is saying. But in the kingdom of God, you don't need people in order for you to qualify your faith. You need God. If you alone is with God, yes, God's mathematics, me plus God equals enough.
Yeah, more than enough.
Some such glory.
Glory.
It matters, therefore, for me to make sure that in my life and in my journey this year, that there are others that I will lose along the way. And it's all right. Because not everybody, I don't expect you to believe what I believe. I don't expect you to have the same faith that I have faith in. Because I am hungry enough for God to build my life. So that if I am left with God and I lose doors that seem to be discouraging me and disappointing me and pulling me down, goodbye, it's fine. Because Joshua and Caleb quieted the people. It's not easy to stand against 10 and you're only 2. Talk to me.
Yes.
Because there are 2 of them and they're saying, we are well able to do it. And they're saying, no, don't believe this too. Because the giants that are there, they devour the inhabitants. But not only that, they are so strong that when we stood in front of them, we were in their side. Like grasshoppers. That's how we looked when we looked at these guys. It was not God who said it. It was not even the devil who said it. It is how they viewed themselves.
Yes.
In 2020, I want to build on me, my spirit man. How do I see myself? The spirit of a man, or the spirit of any child of God, who will determine your successes or your failures in life. That's what the Bible says. A wounded spirit, who can bear? Because if your spirit is not built up, if your spirit is wounded, if your spirit is crushed and as a child of God, a crushed spirit, it will bring you failings in life. But a spirit that is built up for God, that is why it says in Jude, verse 20, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Because what's important is the spirit man. Do I make sense?
Yeah.
Now watch now what it says to qualify that verse. Verse 24, you know, that's what I wanted to read for me. Verse 24 of chapter 14. Let's go to that one. Verse 24. I want us to read now that one, all of us together. One, two, go. God, but my
servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him. Spirit. Followed me fully. I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it.
Do you hear what God is saying? God is saying, with the color type of a person, I can take the nations. Yeah. With the color type of a person,
yeah,
I can win the cities. Yeah.
Amen.
With the color type of a person, I can win families that are distraught and that are broken.
Right.
With the color type of a person, we can win them back from drugs. With the color type of a person, we can win back for Jesus.
Yeah,
with the color type of a person, that's all that I need. That's what God is saying. Listen to what God says. My servant Caleb.
Yeah.
And he tells you why. Because he has a different spirit. He doesn't say he has the Holy Spirit. He says he has a different spirit. Because the spirit of a man is the kingdom of the Lord.
Amen.
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 Oh, I'll say it to you guys this morning. It's quite amazing that oftentimes we lose it. The minor details of exactly how it's supposed to be as God's people. When we start our resolutions, I can tell you, our resolutions are all centered around our flesh. You even we are prepared to pay the fitness gym and we don't go there for the flesh.
Yeah.
We are prepared to feed this flesh so much that if I don't eat when I'm supposed to be eating in the morning, I begin to be cheating. There are people who can't think straight because I haven't had my breakfast. I must have my breakfast. Yet we forget that the emphasis we place on the flesh man is going to go 6 feet down.
Yeah.
The emphasis we put on the flesh man than our spirit. And even in our churches, Pentecostal charismatic churches, Apostle Mary, we have emphasized to tell people about the Holy Spirit, but we've not built them on their spirit. So if we talk about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, and we don't tell you that, hang on, by the way, the body you look after and put emphasis on in taking care of it, you feed it everything that you feel you want at the time that you feel you want, and you give people consensus, and after you've eaten your dinner, you still feel that you want to go to Domino's and get a piece of pizza, and then you eat it at 10 o'clock, and you top it up with an ice cream. You will do it for the body. But then, your spirit, when you go to bed, I can tell you right now, after you are full in your body, the prayer that you pray, you won't go for more than 5 minutes. Talk to me. Come on. And we do that all the time. Until problems hit. The way you pray, even when you go to work in prayer, you put on a worship tape because you're trying to allow down your conscience, you know. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you. And then you call that, I spend time with God. So your spirit man is like this. Your flesh man is like that. That's the truth.
Yeah.
In the year of build, we are saying, let's talk that one over.
Yes.
Can you imagine? Let's talk the word over. If we're going to be spiritual people, we need to understand what we need to do with our inside man, the spirit man.
Amen.
How can I develop that attitude? He had a different spirit. There is a spirit in Caleb that says, we saw the same things.
Yeah.
We saw the same enemies. But I don't agree with their interpretation.
Yeah.
I was not like a grasshopper in front of them.
Amen.
Caleb says, we saw the giants they're talking about. It's not like we're not there, we're all together. But the way we see ourselves like God has given us that land.
Yeah.
And because God has given us that land, we know therefore that God is going to make us overcome. And because of that, God says, because he has followed me fully. You heard that statement? That half obedience equals disobedience?
Yeah.
Followed me fully in the year 2020. May you be a follower of God fully.
Yes,
because he says that because he has followed me fully, I will be ladies and gentlemen, it's a simple subject, and I want to make sure that you get that in your spirit. Number one, why Caleb was called by God that he had a different spirit. Number one, it was in his character. It was in his identity. Because the name Caleb, when he was given that name, it means valiant, strong. It means someone who doesn't give up easily. His name. It is in his name, in his character. When he was born, and he was told, here is the valiant boy. Here is the strong boy. Picture with me. He goes to play to Kindy, and he comes back, and some others are bullying him. And he says, they're bullying me. And the father says, not you. What? Not you. You are valiant. You are strong. Go back there to Kindy. He was strong. Your valley is failing in his brain, I'm sure. Oh, this is too hard. Not you, Caleb. You are valiant. You are strong. It's in his name. His name meant that. His name meant the one who is valiant, the one who is strong. But also his name means a dog. But it's not a chihuahua dog. It's the bull terrier. It is that dog that when it bites you, it will not let go until the master comes. God is raising the Calebs in this year that are building in the spirit man, that are saying, I will never let go. I don't care what I see, what's happened. Things might be going the opposite direction, but to stand your ground, that even in the lowest of my valleys, I am still on top of the devil. I don't care what I see right now, but I know I am coming out. Because I know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes, I know my past, where I'm coming from, I was a victim. But that's not now my name tag. I am not a victim. I'm now victorious. I now have got somebody that lives within my life. And because Christ is in me, is the hope of glory.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why don't you go and begin to praise over your life as you thank him? Because that's your heritage. Somebody say
amen.
Amen.
Caleb is his name. He's a tenacious guy. He's a man full of resilience. He's a man who will not give up easily. He's a man who holds on to the dream. He looks at the giants and he says, you six tall fellows that were like, don't look like human beings. I still want you to know, I'm not comparing myself with you, but I'm comparing you with my God. My God is bigger than all of you, and I know you're going to be praying. In one of the verses, he actually says, God has given us that land, and these giants are going to come down. They are like a piece of bread in our hands.
Hallelujah.
Why don't you change your language in the year 2020?
Amen.
Because I can tell you, this year 2020, it will bring back some of the histories of the stuff that you went through. I often say to people, whatever you have not overcome last year, if it was designed to develop your character, it will come back.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear that, says Christians. But that's the truth. I've learned open with God. When they say the footsteps of a righteous person are ordered by God, that means God orders my valleys, God orders my boat trips on the way, God orders the meanderings and the cares and the sharp heads on the way. God orders. As long as God orders, I know I can say the Lord is my shepherd.
Right,
yeah. Amen. Hashem 1. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. What's the qualifying factor there? Because the Lord is with me. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring us to a point of prayer with this. Caleb has a different spirit. He has a different spirit because his name meant that. His name, it meant the one who is valiant, the one who is strong, and the one who will not give up. But you find out that right in his environment, home environment. We need to talk about the home environment because you are only with me here for 2 hours. The issues you face them at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some of you that struggle to sleep at night, I'm going to give you a recipe that will help you to sleep. His father's name was Yefune.
Amen. Once again, we'll be picking it up next week when we talk about the father of this young man, Yafune, creating an environment in the house that will help you to create sustainable future. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.